Now we're going to just move into our sermon time. And we'll be covering the same story, just in a different way. Let's pray together. Lord, we're thankful for this day, for the reminder that death is not the end, but that you have provided a way for life, and not just life here on this earth, but life eternal. Pray, Lord, today as we study in your word that you will be with us, that your spirit would speak into each heart and mind. Lord, you know each of us. You've known us from our mother's wombs. You know what our thoughts are today. And you know, Lord, what it is that we need, whether it is a word of encouragement or a word of challenge, or if it is a word of life, word of comfort. So, Lord, we just pray that you would meet each person, Lord, where they are today, and that we can celebrate together life and life through your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when we left Good Friday service on Sunday, Friday, all this Friday and Sunday stuff. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming, and Sunday's here now. Okay, all right, I get it out of my system. We left the service on Friday. I just encourage people to sit with the story, right? Sit with the story of Jesus on the cross, the story of Jesus dying, the story of Jesus being laid in the tomb. And to feel the kind of rising spirit, the rising excitement of Easter Sunday. For me, Easter Sunday is always feels like a Sunday that's filled with power and filled with joy. And if you think about it, more than 12 hours ago, people on the other side of the earth already started celebrating Easter Sunday. So Easter has been celebrated already for 12, 14, 15 hours, starting in Indonesia and New Zealand and Australia, and then slowly coming here. So it is a joyous day. I noticed that I drove this here this morning. It seems like a lot of people were still sleeping because the roads were very quiet. And it just feels like they were missing out a little bit. People that don't come to church on Sunday morning, like they're missing out a little bit of excitement, a little bit of fun. So let's read this morning from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has risen. Matthew 28, starting with verse 1, says, "After the Sabbath at dawn, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, where they will see me.'" It's hard for us all these years later to really dig into or feel that sense of just utter defeat when Jesus died and then utter joy when he rose from the dead. We don't understand. We don't know. Last night when I went to bed, I thought, tried to imagine what it was like to feel like Jesus is dead. I'm going to bed and Jesus is dead, and I don't know that tomorrow morning he's going to rise from the dead. It's hard, even with a really great imagination, it's hard to put yourself in that space. But on Sunday, that Sunday, the crucified and resurrected Christ defeated death, defeated hell, defeated sin, and defeated the grave. Everything was changed. We entered into an age of grace where God's grace was poured out on anyone who would accept Jesus, who would accept the story of the crucified lamb. That grace now is extended to anybody who will receive it. We have heard the story so many times that it's maybe hard for you to get excited about that. So today I want to talk a little bit about that symbol, the empty tomb symbol, the tomb, not the cross, even though the cross has dominated Christian symbolism for ever, but it's the empty tomb that I want to talk about today, the power of the resurrection, the victory over death, and how that makes a difference in our lives. Because our imaginations can't quite go there. I tried. I even listened to the song Carmen. Have anybody remember the song Carmen, the Champion? You remember that song? So I decided not to play it for you all this morning because it has some really, it is kind of quirky, and I'm not sure everybody, I figured Jen would like it, but I wasn't sure if everybody else would. So I'm just going to read the end part of it for you, okay? It's about the battle, right? The battle between evil and good. It's about the battle between Satan and Jesus. And they set it up in a boxing ring, and it talks about the people that were there watching it. And so the song goes on. It's a long song, about 8 minutes, and this is how it ends. Now the final blow saved for the final round. Prophetically, Christ's hands came down, and Satan struck in vengeance. The blow of death fell Jesus to the ground. The devils roared in victory, the saints shocked and perplexed, as wounds appeared upon his hands and feet. Then Satan kicked him in his side, and blood and water flowed, as they waited for the 10 count of defeat. God the Father turned his head, his tears announcing Christ was dead. The 10 count would proclaim the battle's end. Then Satan trembled through his sweat in unexpected horror, yet as God started to count by saying, 10. Hey, wait a minute, God. 9. Stop! You're counting wrong! 8. His eyes are moving. 7. His fingers are twitching. 6. Where's all this light coming from? 5. He's alive! 4. Oh, no! 3. Oh, yes! 2. He has won. 1. He has won. He's alive forevermore. He is risen. He is Lord. He has won. I like that because the empty tomb Jesus' resurrection is about God doing the unexpected, about God doing the impossible. It's about God reversing what was into what can be in Jesus Christ. He counts backwards from death to life. And that is true also in our lives, that Jesus and God do things that change what appears to be dead into something that is alive and vibrant. Think about outside, what looked like it was dead just a couple weeks ago, now is flowering and alive. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, we read about the message of the cross. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made the foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who did not believe. So the cross, the empty tomb, is foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. How could a man who died on a cross be a savior? The empty tomb is about God doing the unexpected, the impossible. 1 Corinthians 1 continues, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The empty tomb is the promise of God to use the weak and foolish things to challenge the wisdom and power in this world. The empty tomb for us means that God can use us, even when we're weak, especially when we're weak, to do the things that God has for us to do. God thinks so differently than we do. It's still, the message of the cross is still foolishness. People still don't think that it makes sense to serve a Christ who was killed on the cross. But the empty tomb is our promise that God, even when things don't seem like they're going very well, even when it doesn't feel like we're doing that great of a job, that God can turn those things around, that God can use our efforts to do a good work. The empty tomb is about freedom. It is about freedom from sin and from death. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, it says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, when the humanness has been clothed with the godliness, when the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of God, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. The empty tomb means that we are free. The empty tomb means that we can look beyond death, that we don't have to fear death. The empty tomb is the reason why, and I like it that people continue to bring up the memories and prayers for Eloise and the family. It is the reason why Pastor Mike was able to say with confidence that he was ready because of the empty tomb, because he was free from sin and death. The empty tomb is about living our lives in victory, about standing firm and releasing those things that God does not mean for us to carry. The empty tomb means that we give ourselves fully to the work that God has given us. Now, the word victory gives me pause sometimes. In some churches, they use that word to kind of keep people from feeling sadness, from feeling being real, right? How are you today? I'm victorious. In the name of Jesus, I'm victorious. The victory that we're talking about here is done. It's already done. But we're still working it out in our lives. That's why it says that we need to stand firm. That's why it says that we need to keep giving ourselves over to the work of God. Jesus already won the victory, but we're still learning how to live it in our lives. There's a song by Chris Tomlin that says, you called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Yes, you have given us freedom. We're no longer bound by sin and darkness. We're living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom. It says, I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me. I see that my past has been redeemed. The new has come. Freedom. You have given us freedom. My chains are gone. You have given us freedom. Hallelujah. But if you don't feel today that you're walking in victory, if you don't feel today that you're walking fully in the freedom of the empty tomb, that Jesus has truly set you free, it just means that you need to keep seeking that. It means you have to keep giving your life back over to Jesus. He's already set that freedom in your heart. He's already forgiven you of all your sins. You are not bound by sin and darkness. But you have to learn to live there. You have to learn to stay there. You have to learn to walk in step with God's Spirit, with Jesus Christ. We get out of step with Jesus. We walk out from underneath that protective umbrella that he has set out for us. And when we do, we feel out of sorts. We feel like we're not doing it things right. But it doesn't mean that it's not true. It doesn't mean that Jesus hasn't already provided you everything that you need. It just means that you need to get back in step, that you need to turn towards God, you need to learn to find your ways to do that. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31 to 34, it talks about the new church. And it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and all were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace so powerfully at work in them that there were no needy persons among them. The empty tomb to us means that we have access to the power of God. It points us to the power of the one who can raise, be risen from the dead. It is the same power that we have access to. It is power for us in our weakness, power in our time of need, power in the Holy Spirit, power to serve, to humble ourselves, to love, to live differently, to resist sin, to hope. Power to grow into the image of Christ, power to reign forever. Power to live free from shame and guilt, and power to recognize the things that have eternal value. And power to believe that Jesus Christ is coming back for us and that our future is certain. The empty tomb is a symbol of the unexpected, victorious, and freeing ways of God. The story of Jesus does not end with the cross any more than he remains a baby born in a manger. The story of Jesus goes on to resurrection and an empty tomb. And that empty tomb is a symbol for us that God does things in unexpected and mysterious ways. That Christ has won the victory, and that we can walk in it. That Christ has given us freedom. And if we keep in step with the Spirit of God, we can walk in that freedom. That Jesus stands at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe next week or next month, Jesus will come back for us. We go to the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation. It talks about Jesus, the Lamb of God. In Revelation 5, it says, they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe, language, and people and nations. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard a voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. So today, think about the empty tomb and all that that means for us. Above all, it means that we serve a risen Savior who is worthy of our praise, who is worthy of our service, who is worthy of our time, and worthy of our worship. We serve a risen Savior who loves us. We serve a risen Savior. We have about 10 minutes until the Easter egg hunt. I don't know why this message was hard for me to prepare this time. I think because when you have celebrate the same holiday every year, and you preach on the same scriptures every year, you wait on the Lord for something fresh, for something new. And it bewilders me how we can serve a God with so much power and how we can struggle so much in life. And I wonder sometimes what it is I'm missing. What am I missing? What connection am I missing? Why do Christians struggle as much as other people when we serve a God who is so powerful and so strong, who can raise the dead, a Savior who is risen? And I think that part of it is that we're so we see ourselves as so self-contained and so strong. We have doctors and, you know, we have all these people we can go to who are experts on things. And we have everything that we need. We don't have to worry about our next meal or what we're getting, where things are coming from. And even those of us who are less financially able or to deal with our financial responsibilities, we still have so much more than people do in other countries. So I encourage you to struggle with it like I am. I wish I could give you the answers. I wish I could tell you, do this and this and this, and you'll feel the power of God. Your prayers will be answered in marvelous and wonderful ways. And they are, right? I mean, seeing how God's working in Andrew's brother's life and other people's lives, God is doing marvelous things. And the things that I shared something on Facebook the other day, you know, like, God's doing 10,000 things in our lives, and we only see 3 of them. You know, like God's doing all kinds of marvelous and wonderful things in our lives. I think continue to trust the weird and strange and marvelous ways of God, and remember that God uses foolish things and weak things to do the work. And we don't have to try so hard to be strong, because God can use us just the way that we are. Does anybody have anything that they'd like to add this morning? If you have the answer, that's not fair. Anything that you say will be welcome. Anything occur to you that you think God's Spirit laid on your heart this morning?
Yesterday, Friday night, I really tried to stay focused between Friday and Saturday. And this morning, one of my first thoughts this morning was, yes, he rose from the grave. Yes, it was that, you know, yeah, it's Easter, you know, how many times, but just taking a different look at Easter.
Yeah. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Yeah. Anyone else?
I have my friend Amy teaches at Cabrini, and her friend Jerry is an acquaintance of mine. He also is a professor at Cabrini, and he teaches. He says the play King Lear about 50 times. So you talk about Easter, the same scripture every year, and he's taught King Lear about.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's part of it, right? That it's okay for me to come on a Sunday morning and feel like I just didn't quite get what the scriptures, the Spirit, and maybe that in my vulnerability, in my weakness, that you can see Christ better, that there's no person on earth that can replace the place of Christ and the Spirit of God in your life, that none of us are good enough, none of us are strong enough, none of us are smart enough or wise enough to fully represent who Jesus Christ is in each of your lives. So I will send you from this place today, trusting Jesus Christ, who stands by the throne of God, interceding for us and praying for us. Send you out today, trusting that the Spirit of God will continue a good work in your life, and that the resurrection of Jesus Christ will continue to make a difference for you every day, that there will be healing, that there will be peace, that there will be joy, that there will be growth, and that you will continue to stand firm and honor Jesus in all that you say in all that you do.
If you're able to stand, turn in your green hymnal to 292, green 292. Because he lives.